A few brief verses from the Apostle Paul, starting with the passage that I particularly identify with today when he was leaving the church community in Ephesus and he was meeting with some of the elders, and then some things that he writes about the church, interestingly in comparison to marriage. But firstly, Acts 20, 17 to 21, and verses 28 and 32. From Miletus, Paul sent to Ephesus for the elders of the church. When they arrived, he said to them, "You know how I lived the whole time I was with you, from the first day I came into the province of Asia. I served the Lord with great humility and tears, although I was severely tested by the plots of the Jews. You know that I have not hesitated to preach anything that would be helpful to you, but have taught you publicly and from house to house. I have declared to both Jews and Greeks that they must turn to God in repentance and have faith in our Lord Jesus." Then verses 28 and 32. "Keep watch over yourselves and all the flock of which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. Be shepherds of the church of God, which he bought with his own blood. Now I commit you to God and to the word of his grace, which can build you up and give you an inheritance among all those who are sanctified." Then from Ephesians 5, the passage that is basically about relationships between wives and husbands, but he makes an amazing comparison of the relationship between Christ and the church. Verses 25 to 27. "Husbands, love your wives, just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless." Let's ask God to speak to us through these verses now. Father, we ask that your Holy Spirit would work in our minds and hearts, that we may realize that these great things that are being said are not spoken only of your glory and of the glory of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but great things are even said about the church, those who belong to Christ and follow him. And oh, we pray that these things would come alive for us and that we'd be reminded of just how much this means. We thank you for the joy of this baptismal service today. We pray that we continue to know your joy as we hear your word now. In Jesus' name, amen. Some time ago, a couple traveled overseas and they had intended to stay in that country for about 3 months as they visited around. But something happened that made them extend their stay for at least another 3 months. And I wonder what it was. What was it? What actually attracted them to stay longer than they had intended? It was actually what we may call the most beautiful thing in the world. That is the title of a booklet that a former principal of the Cape Town Baptist Seminary wrote about the church, for he actually met and knew a couple who were so attracted and moved and touched and inspired by the church that they attended in that country while they were there that they just didn't want to go back in any hurry. They extended their stay and they wanted to see more of what it was like so that they could take that back with them later. And that is what those people said. This was the most wonderful thing they'd ever seen. The message of the church, of course, through Christ, but particularly the relationships amongst the people and the difference that that made in their lives. And so I focus your attention again on verse 25 of that reading in Ephesians 5, where Paul says that Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. And that's the theme for today. It is loving the church as the body of Christ. When I think of these last 4.5 months that I've had here at the Northolt Park Baptist Church, I think I can understand something of the feelings and the experiences of the Apostle Paul. Now, not all of them. I'm not going back to Jerusalem expecting to be imprisoned or having all the experiences that he had revealed to him by God were going to happen. But there were some of the same things that I believe I identify with and that I experienced and that make me want to say, again, what we read earlier from verse 26 of Acts 20 about caring for the flock of God and the people of God. And so the question I want to ask you this morning is, what do you really think of the church? What do you really think of the church? Can you say something like Paul said of Jesus, that Christ loved the church and gave himself for it? Because we need to see that our actual view of the church will determine its priority for us. Our actual view of the church will determine its priority for us. Listen again to that verse. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. What is your actual view of the church? Now, I don't mean, and those of you who were here last Sunday will remember, I don't mean that just what we do at a Sunday service is more important than anything else we do during the rest of the week. No, we've said that every day counts for God. But our actual view of the church will determine its priority for us. And if we understand that, then we can feel exactly, we can understand something about what Jesus felt about the church. So we don't mean we're just talking about the Sunday services. We also don't mean that you and I can feel exactly like Jesus, because we can't do the things. We are not the Word become flesh. We are not the same as the eternal Son of God who was born as a baby. We did not die for other people's sin. We were not raised in that unique way from death. So we can't be exactly like Jesus. But it does mean that the church is so important that it is something like God's showpiece. If you read just a little further back in chapter 3 of Ephesians, this is what Paul says about the church, that God's intention was that now, through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. In him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. Have you grasped that? That the church is God's showpiece. It's as if he is showing off and boasting to the powers in the heavenly realms. You remember how Satan said to God, when God said to him, well, here's my servant Job. He said, oh no, well, if you take away all the benefits he's got, he'll curse you like anyone else. And the book of Job unfolds. But this is what the church is actually in the eyes of God. It is God's showpiece. Something so wonderful, so important is happening, is the focus of the church, that it is God's showpiece. He shows them off. Does the church mean something like that for you, or is it just a duty? Do you come by duty? Well, it's Sunday, you know, you're supposed to go to church. Or are you here because you want to be? Because you understand something of what we read about God's showpiece, that according to his eternal purpose, which he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. We are here because we want to be here. God is worth so much to us. We love Christ. We are conscious of Him. We want to be here. Is it like that for you? Because our actual view of the church will determine its priority for us. But perhaps that's not where you are, if you're honest this morning. And the second thing we need to see is that we must remember that the local church is still a work in progress. It's a work in progress. The work hasn't been finished yet. His work on the cross is finished. But look at verse 26. To make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word. There are people who reject the message of Christ. They reject the church because they've had bad experiences. I've heard of people like that. People have done something bad. I knew someone who let out their house to some Christian that totally swindled them. Now, the person was not a believer at all. And that just turned them off altogether. They'd had bad experiences. But not only people on the outside, but even people on the inside sometimes can have disappointments with an actual local church. I wonder if you've had disappointments. There have been things that shouldn't have happened, and they've disappointed you. And we are dealing with real people. Perhaps you've heard this comment about the church. To live above with saints we love, oh, that will be glory. But to live below with the saints we know, well, that's quite another story. And people can disappoint us, but don't we also ourselves disappoint other people? I can't be God to people. I can't give them everything that I would like them to have. And there are times when even perhaps culpably that it's really our fault that some people have been disappointed with us. And that happens. But the question is, have I changed? Have we changed from what we were? Are we continuing to change? I think of a younger middle-aged friend back at our church at home who I can see even on his face and his complexion how he has changed. I saw him when he was still wandering round the street begging. He had two little boys to look after and he asked if we could give him some food. He'd lost his job. He had become an alcoholic. He had been on drugs. His parents were alcoholic. His sister was alcoholic. He was living right there. And his wife then left him, and he had to look after these two little boys. And he came along to our church, and one of our members, who is a Jewish Christian, helped him tremendously. He gave his life to the Lord, and he's had struggles since. He's sometimes only been able to get part-time work, and he's now building up more regular work. But if I compare even what his face looked like, the calmness, the peace, and the joy, and he's still not a top earner, but he's making progress. But there's been a real change. And when I gave a testimony a few weeks ago, I tried to mention that even in my own life, while I wasn't in the league where I was in jail and where I was a famous criminal, but I know that my own life has changed, that I'm not the person that I once was. And this is something we need to remember when we think of the church. Think of what we read in 1 John, where he says that now we are children of God and we don't actually know how we will appear, but we know that when He appears, we will be like Him. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God? That's what we are. The reason the world doesn't know us is that it doesn't know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as he is pure. Remember that the local church is still a work in progress. If we're going to love the church as the body of Christ, we should also get to know the members of the local body of Christ. Now, we don't have time to read through the chapter now, but if you just later on have a look at Romans 16, the home group that's been looking at Hebrews previously looked at the letter to the Romans. and it is just so full and focused. It's the fullest and clearest presentation of the Christian gospel amongst all of Paul's letters. But when you read to get to chapter 16, some people just don't even bother to read it. It just seems to be a list of names. But read what he says about those people, how he knew them, how he loved them, the different things that he had seen, the different positions they had, the jobs they did, the things they did for the Lord, what they would like as people, and how much they meant to him. When I came in January, I was given three crisp new sheets of paper, and it had a list of the members and adherents, this family of the Northolt Park Baptist Church, on it. But over the months I've been here, you'll see it's become quite worn. I've written things on it. I've sort of ticked off when I've memorized the names. I haven't got to absolutely know everybody's name, but I've got to know, I think, at least three quarters of your names. I've seen many of you at home. I've got to know things about you, and this list has become pretty worn out. We need to get to know the people, and I can honestly say that I can see why Paul wrote something like chapter 16 of Romans, because he got to know the people. And if you're going to have the church as having this priority, if it's going to be as important to you as it is to Christ, then you're going to need to get to know the members of the body of Christ. But we said about to live below with the saints we know. Well, what's going to help us in that? There's one other thing I want us to see before we finish today, and that is that we should be motivated by the coming day of presentation. Notice what Paul says in verse 27 of our reading, and to present her to himself. Isn't that strange? You're working with a group of people and you're going to present them to yourself. Well, that's because of who he is. To present her to himself as a radiant church without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. Now, that is what we are going to be like by the time we're in the presence of Christ when he comes, or when we go to be with him, but particularly when that whole body is going to be together. And perhaps you've never really thought about this. Listen to a few other verses where Paul says the same thing about this day of presentation. There's going to be a day when we're going to be presented to Christ and we are going to see one another. We're going to be conscious of the presence of one another. 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 14. As you have understood us in part, you will come to understand fully that you can boast of us just as we will boast of you in the day of the Lord Jesus. It's going to be as if we're going to be able to say, well, wasn't it great what God did in your life and in my life and through my involvement with you and my involvement in this congregation and in this home group? I can boast of you as you'll be able to boast of me. He says the same kind of thing in 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 19 to 20. What is our hope, our joy, or the crown in which we will glory in the presence of our Lord Jesus when he comes? Is it not you? He's writing now not just to the Corinthians, he's writing to another congregation, the Thessalonians. Indeed, you are our glory and joy. And in chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians, that great chapter about how the trumpet will sound and the Lord will descend, after that we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. We're going to be consciously there with him on that day in the presence of others who know him. And on that day, we will be perfect. Now, perfect doesn't mean we're all going to be the same. We all have different personalities. And it's great that it should be that way. But we will be the best that we can be, that Christ can make us within the range of the personalities and character that Christ has given us. We'll be perfect, but different. And why don't you just let your imagination run a little bit and think about the conversations that you will have with some of the people with this congregation on that day. Remember how God used me there, how God touched me there, how you helped me with that. Those are the kinds of things that are going to happen. There's this coming day of presentation. And so we come back again to loving the church as the body of Christ. Does it mean something like what it meant to Jesus for you? Do you value the people who know him as much as that? For Christ loved the church and gave himself for her. We're going to be celebrating God's gift of newness of life in Christ as we observe the sacrament of baptism, of believers' baptism. But as we do that, and as you think about what we've been considering today, I want to ask you, are you part of the church? I don't just mean, are you sitting here in the building attending the service? But have you become part of the body of Christ through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, through the working of the Holy Spirit that makes you see who he is and what he's done and put your trust in him? Have you done that? That's what makes you part of the church. If that's not true for you, don't put it off. You need to do something about that to be sure that you're really part of the church. And if you are, if you know that you belong to him, that you are a Christian, that you personally trust in Christ, then the question is, do I love the church as the body of Christ? Does the church mean to me something like what it meant to Jesus? May that be our cry and our desire and our determination as we seek to live and to love one another and to serve one another in such a way that the church will be that body that we love because of Christ.